Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So leading up to the Oscars on Sunday, we've been looking at the films nominated in the Best Documentary category, the feature-length documentary category, as we've been doing for a number of years now. Several of these films delve deeply into race in America, such as Ava DuVernay's critique of mass incarceration in her film 13th, which we discussed with its contributor Van Jones last Thursday, and O.J. Made in America, whose director Ezra Edelman also stopped by our studio to discuss race through the lens of O.J. Simpson's life and criminal trial. Both these directors were probably influenced by the subject of the documentary we'll discuss now, James Baldwin. Nobel Prize and Pulitzer Prize winning American novelist Toni Morrison once said of Baldwin, "He created the language for discussing race." In this film called I Am Not Your Negro, director Raoul Peck showcases the rigorous analysis of race through poetic expression that made Baldwin one of the most important essayists and social critics of our time. Here's a minute and a half of Baldwin himself from the film.
I can't be a pessimist because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm forced to be an optimist. I'm forced to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive. But the Negro in this country, the future of the Negro in this country is precisely as bright or as dark as the future of the country. It is entirely up to the American people and our representatives. It is entirely up to the American people whether or not they're going to face and deal with and embrace this stranger whom they maligned so long. What white people have to do is try to find out in their own hearts why it was necessary to have a nigger in the first place. Because I'm not a nigger. I'm a man. But if you think I'm a nigger, it means you need it. And the question you've got to ask yourself, the white population of this country has got to ask itself, north and south, because it's one country, and for a Negro, there is no difference in north and the south. There's just a difference in the way they, in a way, they castrate you. But the fact of the castration is the American fact. If I'm not the nigger here, and you invented him, you, the white people, invented him, then you've got to find out why.
The words of James Baldwin from the Oscar-nominated documentary, I Am Not Your Negro. With me to discuss it now are Trayvell Anderson, film reporter with the Los Angeles Times, who covers the intersections of diversity in Hollywood with a focus on black and queer film mostly, and Salamisha Tillett, professor of English and Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania and co-founder of A Long Walk Home, a nonprofit organization that uses art to end violence against girls and women. Welcome to WNYC, both of you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. It's an honor.
Thank you for having us.
Professor, you want to give us some historical context for the clip that we just heard? When might that have been from, and how is that representative of kind of the body of James Baldwin's work and speech?
Well, I think that was on a television show that he was a part of. But, you know, it's part of the way in which Peck is using so much of what we think we know of Baldwin, all these TV clips and lectures that he did, as well as having Samuel L. Jackson kind of speak his prose to us. But, you know, the 1960s is the time period that Baldwin is often known to have come of age and become the voice of race in America and anti-racism. So that's the historical context.
And Trayvell, one of the ways that the film is remarkable is that it features Baldwin's own words throughout. It's basically, you know, all Baldwin's words in this film, spoken by him and spoken by some narration of an unreleased manuscript that Samuel L. Jackson did the reading for. So give us your movie writers, you know, kind of how this film hit you, and tell us more about this manuscript.
Yeah, so the manuscript, it basically was a collection of notes and letters that James Baldwin had between himself and a publisher for a book he wanted to write called Remember This House. And it was supposed to tell the story of race in America through the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and Medgar Evers. But it was never written. It was about 30 pages of notes that Raoul Peck was able to get from but James Baldwin's sister, who executes his estate, and she sent it to him because she was like, you would know exactly what to do with this. And so in reading it, that's where we get every single word that we hear and see in the film that's narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. What particularly struck me with the film was the fact that there are no talking heads in this documentary about James Baldwin and race in America. It's all his words. It's all, you know, old clips that we've seen before. The clip that we heard was from 1962. It was an interview with Henry Morgenthau III on a program called The Negro and the American Promise. And James Baldwin is interviewed alongside Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. And that's when he kind of posits this, where we get the title of the documentary from, this idea of I'm not your Negro, I'm not the nigger. And it's one of those ways in which we see James Baldwin kind of unapologetic and unadulterated and uncompromising in how he kind of lays at the feet of white America responsibility for division that we see.
Here's what Raoul Peck said about melding Baldwin's voice with Samuel L. Jackson's voice during an interview with Fandango.com. This clip also features some of Jackson's narration from the film. The director, Raoul Peck, speaks first.
Samuel Jackson got it from the start, and we knew that it was not supposed to mimic him, Baldwin, or trying to sound like him. What we needed was a different kind of truth.
In America, I was free only in battle, never free to rest.
And it's perfect because you don't question anymore who's talking. You know, you go from Baldwin on screen speaking to you, and you go to the voice, and it's clearly the magic of cinema where you have no problem with that.
You go from Baldwin speaking to you to the voice of Samuel Jackson in the narration. So here's an example of that seamless transition between James Baldwin's voice and Samuel L. Jackson's narration, a one-minute clip from the film.
Most of the white Americans I've ever encountered, really, you know, had a Negro friend or a Negro maid or somebody in high school, but they never, you know, or rarely, after school was over or whatever, you know, came to my kitchen. You know, we were segregated from the schoolhouse door. Therefore, he doesn't know. He really does not know what it was like for me to leave my house, you know, leave the school and go back to Harlem. He doesn't know how Negroes live. And it comes as a great surprise to the Kennedy brothers and to everybody else in the country. I'm certain, again, you know, that like most white Americans I have, you know, encountered, they have no, I'm sure they have nothing whatever against Negroes. That's really not the question. You know, the question is really a kind of apathy and ignorance, which is a price we paid for segregation. That's what segregation means. You don't know what's happening on the other side of the world because you don't want to know.
I was, in some way, in those years without entirely realizing it, the great black hope of the great white father. I was not a racist, or so I thought.
Professor Tillett, incredible clip.
Yeah.
And so contemporary, listening to Baldwin's words and how people are, you know, sadly having the same conversations today about white apathy and ignorance being a major part, you know, of unintentional racism, which really is what Baldwin was talking about there.
Yeah, I mean, first I would like to say that for those of us who've been following Raoul Peck's like long career, that we can really see this as building on both his beautiful documentaries, but also Lumumba and Sometimes in April. So when I interviewed him for my piece in the New York Times, he really felt like he had to kind of invent a genre for Baldwin. And so it's a documentary, but I do think this kind of slippage between Baldwin's voice and Samuel L. Jackson's voice, and then the kind of strong juxtapositions he uses in the film, where you have like images of like American nostalgia and romance next to stark images of racial injustice and police brutality, are ways in which Peck was trying to like approximate Baldwin's own language itself. So I think, you know, that's part of why this film is so appealing on an aesthetic level, that it's just a beautiful documentary that's playing with the genres. As Baldwin moved in and out of so many literary genres and was an avid student and critic of American film, too. And then the other thing, I think you're right, why does Baldwin's legacy matter so much to us today? You know, oftentimes people think of him as prophetic because he was able to see where we would end up. But I think another way of understanding Baldwin, as to follow up with the Toni Morrison quote, is that he was theorizing American race dilemma, race conundrums, American race relations at a time when the country seemed like it was boiling over and we just didn't pay heed to him and pay heed to that message. So I think Baldwin speaks about white apathy, but he also thinks and talks about white kind of moral innocence, something that Coates and Michael Eric Dyson have recently written about as well. And I think that's the thing that we just kind of haven't really reconciled
sort of the illusion of moral innocence.
Moral innocence.
If you weren't a slaveholder or something like that yourself.
Exactly. And Baldwin gets so, he gets it precisely, right? He goes so clearly to that point and builds all this kind of stuff around it, his beautiful language and his prose. But that's what we haven't reckoned with. And so I think, what does it mean to be in 2016 and have that illusion fully destroyed and so many levers of power today?
And Treyville Anderson, in your story for the LA Times, you wrote that the film argues if America had listened, perhaps our current uncertain political atmosphere might never have arrived. But it's here, and Baldwin still has the answer. Do you think it was possible for America to listen to Baldwin better in the 1960s and not have arrived at this place?
I mean, I think most people would agree and say that James Baldwin was saying some very interesting, very real, very necessary things at the time that he was saying them, and it was not necessarily the safest for him to be doing so. But when we're able to look at this documentary today and see some of those juxtapositions in the film between, you know, photos coming out of Ferguson and Baltimore and New York City, right, paired up with, you know, a lot of these vintage clips of journalists, right, black journalists, black people being punched at rallies and physically assaulted, and pairing that up with what we see at, you know, saw at some of then-candidate Donald Trump's rallies. To see all of that paired up together and to hear James Baldwin's words over that, I think it kind of helps illustrate the fact that what he was saying during that time period, it still persists. And perhaps now, since we seem to be open to having this racial conversation and reckoning with what, you know, seems to be the true root issues of this sociopolitical climate, that perhaps James Baldwin does have the answers, if only we actually listen.
When we continue in a minute, I'm going to ask if either of you have seen all three of the documentaries, O.J. Made in America, 13th, and this one,
yeah,
and how you would kind of relate them to the other, and how in heaven's name the Oscar judges, if they're looking to race in America as a theme for a best feature-length documentary winner, are ever going to decide between these three. So stay with us, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue with our feature-length documentary Oscar-nominated film series. The Oscars are on Sunday, and we're talking today about I Am Not Your Negro by Raoul Peck, about James Baldwin, using only Baldwin's own words with historical clips of him and readings by Samuel L. Jackson from a previously or recently published narrative. And we're talking about it with Treyville Anderson, film reporter for the Los Angeles Times, and Salamisha Tillett, professor of English and Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania. And I guess, you know, we don't do all five of these nominated documentaries every year to have a kind of documentary slam and really try to decide, and, you know, on this show in any way, which one is the best film and deserves the Oscar. But to use the lens of documentary to ask, who are we in America and in the world through the lens of our best documentary filmmakers in any given year? And so I wonder, Professor Tillett, if you think the fact Is there something that says who we are in how we look at race and culture in this country through the body of work of these three films taken together, O.J. Made in America, 13th, and I Am Not Your Negro? Can somebody look at all three films sometime in the future and go, oh, yeah, gee, that's really how they were looking at race in 2016?
Yeah, and I would just like to point out that the kind of counter part to these are Fences, Hidden Figures, and Moonlight as well, right? So they're all in kind of conversation.
Non-documentary, feature-length films.
In terms of how we're looking at the Oscars as perhaps giving us insight into the moment that we're in. Yeah, so I think that these three films are remarkable in that they, you know, catch different moments of American history, too, to kind of tell this long story of both the kind of predicament of racial injustice and the constant struggle and pushback and organizing to create American freedom for all its citizens and live out this kind of the project and the promise of democracy. So that's what the three films have in common. I think their approach is so different. You know, when I saw the O.J. Film, I was like, I really hope this is eligible for the Oscars, because it was such a stunningly interesting story in which he tells it from how white America sees O.J. and then how black Americans live in L.A. And we see the collision course, but the pacing of that film is so remarkable and so stunning. And I think
and most people saw it as a TV series.
Exactly.
We didn't even get to say this when Ezra Edelman was here, the director, but they did do some screenings of that were the whole 8 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a remarkable unto itself then. And then DuVernay's film.
Or at least one that I know of.
Okay. And then DuVernay's film, I think, is so poignant and timely because, again, she's giving us this kind of long history of mass incarceration that starts, you know, slavery, post-slavery, and then goes up to the present. So I think, and then Raoul, as I, you know, the juxtapositions between the 60s and the present. And the only thing I would say about Peck's film, which I guess they're all doing to a certain degree, but I think he's pushing the boundaries of how we can think about documentary form itself, which may be another layer of it.
Trey Bell, same question.
Yeah, I think I would definitely agree to the point. I Am Not Your Negro seems to be doing something different with this concept of documentary film. And I would say a similar way in terms of the O.J. doc, just in terms of its length and its depth, because it is so long. The 13th I thought was really great only because it seemed to be a good primer for someone who might be interested in stepping into this conversation about race in America and mass incarceration. But they all seem to be in an interesting conversation and great companion pieces for each other for different kind of vantage points into this conversation.
Trey Bell, with all the black directors and films nominated at this year's Oscars, compared to recent years that, you know, spawned the hashtags on Twitter like Oscars So White, which was just last year because of the lack of diversity. Do you think this is a significant moment in Hollywood in regards to diversity, or is it, you know, luck of the draw one year versus the next, or how do you see it?
I mean, I've been cautious or cautioning other people in terms of saying that this increase in diversity that we see this year is a direct result of Oscars So White, only because so many of these films have been in the works for years, right? So Raoul Peck has been working on this documentary and trying to figure out the idea for somewhere near 10 years. Ava DuVernay has been working on 13 since Selma. A lot of the other films that we see with a diverse cast have been in the works for, you know, years. Moonlight was in the works for 8 years or so. So I think it's tough to say that this is a byproduct of Oscars So White, but I definitely think the social media campaign, which has obviously had offline impact, has definitely kind of made people more aware, and there's a conversation being had. But whether or not we see a sustained kind of increase in diversity, I think we'll have to look 3 to 5 years down the line.
And I guess I would think that it may, and I agree, I don't think it changed the appearance of these films, but if we even look at the Golden Globes as a response as well, that maybe it impacted how critics and how audiences can receive these films and maybe increase the critical vocabulary they have about how do we think about race in America? How do we think about race on screen differently? How do we appreciate the complexity of these stories as opposed to being put off by them? So I think hopefully, if anything, you know, the the critical response indicates that these campaigns to increase diversity have had an effect. And I think there are also just new voices, like our voices, to talk about these films and create a more textured understanding of it, I think is also maybe a result that can be sustained.
Salamisha Tillett, professor of English and Africana Studies at the University of Pennsylvania and co-founder of A Long Walk Home, a nonprofit that uses art to help end violence against girls and women. And Trayvell Anderson, film reporter with the LA Times, who covers the intersections of diversity and Hollywood. Thank you both so much for coming on to talk about Raoul Peck's incredible film, I Am Not Your Negro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.